The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to the Pride of Detroit podcast. This is a mini edition. Maybe it's the first bite, maybe it's an emergency podcast. Call it whatever you want. This is a little mini podcast with just me, Jeremy Reisman, the editor-in-chief over at Pride of Detroit. I'm here to talk about the first 2 days of Lions minicamp. They just wrapped Wednesday's practice. It's a Wednesday evening when we're recording. There's still one more session to go, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But I wanted to kind of give you a quick recap of what I've seen so far, Lions minicamp. And we're just going to go position by position, talk about some of the more interesting players, interesting plays, interesting developments over there at Allen Park. So let's kick things right off at quarterback. Jared Goff kind of had an up and down week so far, coming off of really a great session of OTAs the past week. Tuesday was a struggle. The Lions defense really gave him a lot of tough looks, especially in the red zone. He threw an interception to Will Harris. I would say Wednesday was pretty much a bounce back day for him. He started off a little cold. Individual drills, couldn't necessarily find some connections. He was dealing with Perriman specifically, kind of struggling to build that that connection, that chemistry. But as the day went on, I thought he got significantly better. The one thing I've noticed throughout the offseason is the speed of his passes, the arm strength. It's there. And I think we all kind of need to remind ourselves, this guy was a number one overall pick for a reason. He's got the physical traits, and sure, he doesn't have Matthew Stafford's arm, but he's got a cannon still. He's got a certainly an acceptable arm at this NFL level, and he's really been quite accurate most of the time. I think a lot of it is just kind of building a relationship with his wide receivers. I will say that when his first read isn't there, seems like maybe he's getting a little panicky, and that's obviously a little bit of a concern when we're not even dealing with offensive or defensive line play yet. But overall, I would say more good than bad with Jared Goff, and I think he bounced back nicely from a rough day on Tuesday. In terms of the depth there, I would say, you know, we've been used to some really bad backup quarterback battles in the past. I will say specifically, this isn't that. I think Tim Boyle and David Blau both have good traits with them, but at this point, I wouldn't say one has necessarily, distanced itself from the other. Boyle had a rough Tuesday practice. I think he played a little bit better, but Blau's been playing all right as well. I think in terms of the reps that they're taking, it's pretty clear that Boyle's starting out as the number two, but I'm not completely taking Blau out of the conversation of maybe winning that backup job. It would take kind of it would be a big surprise, I think, at this point, considering what they invested in Boyle. But I would say that the difference between them, I guess what I'm trying to say is I've seen a little bit of progression in Blau, and Dan Campbell actually came out and said when say Blau's my dude, like he likes David Blau a lot, and so maybe that's a sign that battle is kind of evening out. Moving on to running backs, I would say this is the most impressive position group so far in the offseason. Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift are just putting on a show day in and day out, and granted they're not doing it through the running game because you can't really showcase your running game during minicamp. There's no pads on. There's no offensive line versus defensive line. There's no contact. So you're pretty much just having these guys run routes. And if these guys don't combine for at least 60 catches this year, I'm going to be shocked, because that's where their strength lies, and that's where I think the Lions can get a lot of mismatches this year. No one has been able to guard DeAndre Swift all offseason. I've seen him embarrass at least three linebackers and some safeties as well. So he's someone to get very excited about in the passing game, and I was surprised by how good Jamal Williams has been in that exact same role. So I would say they're the two, maybe the two biggest reasons to get excited about this offense this year. In terms of the depth there, really there hasn't been anyone that has established himself, and that includes seventh-round rookie Jamar Jefferson. He had a couple drops early in OTAs and minicamp. Just kind of been quiet since then. I think maybe we're starting to see why Todd Gurley might be in this team's plans, because there isn't that clear RB3 right now. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if we saw shortly after minicamp wraps up to see Todd Gurley join the crowd. Let's move on to wide receivers. I think obviously this is one of the positions that has one of the most intrigues. I will say the top two wide receivers have not really stood out to me in any noticeable way, which obviously isn't a great sign. Of the two, I probably would say Tyrell Williams looks to be more of the number one. I've seen some crisp routes from him, but I still haven't seen him take over you know, in a way that you would hope a number one wide receiver would in minicamp. So there's still maybe it's a chemistry thing. Maybe, you know, the downgrade in terms of talent at the wide receiver position is as advertised. Something to look forward to. And if I'm being completely honest, you know, I mentioned it at the top, I really haven't seen a lot from Perriman at all. There was some miscommunications, it seemed like, today, specifically with Goff and Perriman. But it's just something to continue to watch, because I haven't been completely impressed with that group. And we are starting to see more one-on-ones with them and the cornerbacks, and I think maybe that's an opportunity for them to shine, and something I'm going to continue to watch as minicamp rolls on. But neither of those two, I think, has really stood out in the first couple of days of minicamp. That being said, the depth really has, and maybe that says more about the depth at cornerback. Maybe it says more about the depth that the Lions have at wide receiver. Maybe we're underrating that a little bit. Amon-Ra St. Brown had a really, really solid route today that had him, you know, three or four steps on. Can't remember exactly who it was. I want to say AJ Parker. So, I mean, he's going up against kind of lesser competition since he's mostly repping with twos and threes at this moment. But he's also a lot of times the number one slot receiver, and I think that's probably going to be his role in this rookie year. So expect to see him get a lot of contributions in his rookie season if everything continues. And then Victor Bolden has obviously been a hot name that the coaches have been talking a lot about, and for good reason. I mean, the guy is slippery, the guy is quick, and he really has a leg up, I think, on the competition in terms of special teams, and that could win him a role. He's looked very comfortable to me in terms of positioning for punt returns. You're not seeing him catching it off your back foot. He's judging every punt correctly, and he was also the first guy out there in terms of kick returns today. You have to imagine that gives him an edge up. He'll be in, I would say, stiff competition with Khalif Raymond, but if we're talking about who stood out more at wide receiver, I think there's no question to me that has been Victor Bolden. We're going to skip over offensive line tight end really quick. I thought today was an amazing day for the tight ends. TJ Hockenson, clearly the number one on the team, and clearly going to be a matchup problem, and I think kind of a focus of this offense. I've noticed several times where him and Goff seem to be talking to each other a lot. I mentioned in my post today, there was kind of a moment where Goff threw a nice little out route to TJ Hockenson, and he gave him a thumbs up, kind of saying like, hey, was that where you wanted it? And TJ Hockenson gave him a thumbs up back, like, yeah, that was perfect. And so you can see that chemistry building, and I really do think he's going to be a centerpiece. But Elise Mack also made a fantastic grab over the middle during 7-on-7s. Nice little seam route. Didn't get a ton of separation there, but made a nice contested catch on a well-placed ball. I think he's your tight end three going into training camp, and I don't know if there's really anyone else that'll contest him for that. But Jake Hausman, made a nice similar catch up the seam, and so I think he might be in contention for that fourth spot. We'll see what happens with the tight end position, but I do think that potentially is a strength. We didn't see a ton out of Darren Fells today, but he's big, he's strong, certainly slower than a guy like TJ Hockenson, but he's got strong hands, and we've seen what he can do here before as a receiver, so he's obviously the number two as well. Let's move over to the defensive side of the ball. I'll talk a little bit about the linebackers here. Notable that Jalen Reeves-Maybin was injured on Tuesday, so he wasn't practicing on Wednesday. Jamie Collins is still not really taking a lot of 7-on-7 reps. Or I'm not sure he's taken any. The rookie Derek Barnes was banged up, I think, during OTA, so he's not taking 7-on-7 reps. So we've really seen kind of the linebacker depth tested recently, and I think what was interesting today was we actually saw Sean Dion Hamilton get a little reps with the ones alongside. Sometimes it was Jelani Tavai. Who else was there? Alex Anzalone. So he's getting a little bit of extra looks. Anzalone looked better in coverage today than in previous days. But, going up against the likes of guys like TJ Hockenson and DeAndre Swift is making these guys look bad at times, and it's unfortunate for them because I think they're better maybe than they look. But maybe the play of the game, play of the practice, I should say, was a catch by DeAndre Swift, a one-handed kind of bobbling catch. But Jelani Tavai was right there in coverage. And it was kind of impressive all around. It was a perfect throw, it was a great catch, and it was great coverage. So that was kind of a rep where everyone can kind of pat themselves on the back. The other thing I really want to mention really quick is Julian Okwara. And I know he's more edge than he is linebacker, but they've had some of those edge guys drop back in coverage a little bit. And Julian Okwara looks kind of like a natural dropping into coverage. And I think that might be a place where he gets some reps. Isn't that outside linebacker position maybe on obvious passing downs where a guy like Trey Flowers, a guy who hasn't really done this very often, maybe they take him off the field or maybe they slide him inside to that down defensive end role on those passing downs and let Julian Okwara drop into coverage. Something to kind of keep your eye on as we move forward. Moving to corners. So the big news out of minicamp on Wednesday was that Jeff Okuda was not at practice. At this point, we don't know why that is. It's worth noting that he did finish practice on Tuesday. So if it was an injury, it either didn't happen at practice or I would consider it most likely minor. At this point, we just don't know. But that gave the opportunity for Quentin Dunbar to slide back into the starting lineup because it had been for the last few practices, Okuda and Oruwariye. So today was Oruwariye and Dunbar. Oruwariye, I would say, looks better than expected. He looks like he's in serious contention for that starting cornerback role opposite Okuda. I think Okuda is a slam dunk as a starter. But Okuda was definitely competitive in a lot of snaps today. He had a pass breakup against, I want to say, is it Tyrell? Yeah, Tyrell Williams. He did get beat by Quintus Cephas on a deep one-on-one drill with Quintus Cephas. The ball was underthrown, though, and so I think Oruwariye ended up getting a pass breakup, but that was only because it was not a great throw from Goff. I just noticed a swagger amongst the cornerbacks that I didn't notice last year. And part of that, I think, is just a culture change, right? Like, these guys are feeling more comfortable to be themselves. I mentioned in yesterday's notes that Jeff Okuda looks like a completely different personality out there. Last year, he was kind of more reserved. When you saw him on the field, when he made a play or didn't make a play, no emotion either way. And sometimes that might be a good thing, right? Like, Matt Patricia was definitely the kind of guy that preached, I don't want you to get too high, I don't want you to get too low. But he's out there in practice screaming and finger wagging and fist bumping and he's going nuts. And to me, I mean, it's more fun to watch for sure. Whether that makes him a better player or not, we'll see. But he's playing with a sense of swagger, and that is contagious across everybody. Tracy Walker is the same thing, and I think Walker's had a really, really nice camp. Although I will say there was a rep today in which Tracy Walker was beat, but it was another competitive rep, and I'm trying to remember who was against and looking through my notes. I don't have that note right in front of me, but everything to me just seems more competitive. And yeah, kind of to move that over to safeties, Will Harris, not as great of a day as yesterday when he had his interception. He was shook by TJ Hockenson twice in 7-on-7s at the goal line. The first one, he argued a push off. The second one was bad for Will Harris. Very, very bad. Great for TJ Hockenson. I mean, he had three or four steps on him on a short route. Like, he just beat him off the snap, and it was dominant, to say the least. And then my last kind of note from training camp was just the Lions made it fun. The Lions, right before they went into the last set of 7-on-7s, they had kind of a fun little exercise where they set up a circle, and then a tackling dummy at the end of, you know, wherever you start your circle. And so each player was supposed to race in a circle and then tackle the tackling dummy. Whoever tackled the dummy first won, and it was offense versus defense. And if you want to know specifically who won those reps, Sean Deion Hamilton, linebacker, beat Jake Hausman, the tight end. Jamal Williams beat Dean Marlowe, and Victor Bolden beat Corn Elder. But the fun part about it was at the very, very end, they had two coaches, and they weren't position coaches. They weren't coordinators. It was defensive assistant Brian Duker and offensive quality control coach Steve Oliver. They had those guys run reps. And after you've seen, like, extremely athletic players run in a circle, watching not so athletic, let's say, non-former players try to do the same is hilarious and entertaining, and it obviously got everyone pumped up a little bit. If you're curious, the defensive coach, defensive assistant Brian Duker, won out, and eventually I believe that was a tiebreaker in terms of reps. And so it was overall, my overall takes from these mini camps and OTAs are a few things. In terms of, like, player positions, I think the most interesting development is that Mike Ford is essentially your starting cornerback, it looks like. We were wondering if Corn Elder was going to have any competition. Well, it looks like Corn Elder is the competition for Mike Ford potentially winning that starting nickel role. Obviously, we're way early, and that could change, but I thought that was interesting. I think that the energy level at OTAs is completely different than I've ever seen, really. Granted, I wasn't around for the days before Matt Patricia, but assuming that they have open training camp, I think Lions fans are going to be very excited to see the product out there and see the excitement of both the players and the coaches, because the coaches are just as amped up as the players, maybe even more so. And then I would say maybe my third major takeaway is just Jared Goff looks decent, looks like an above average quarterback, and I think that should give Lions some hope. Obviously, he needs to look good during this time, because there isn't any offensive defensive line play, and 7-on-7s are heavily in favor of the offense, even when you're down in the red zone. So those are my three main takeaways. That's kind of my recap of the first 2 days. There's still more to come as day three, the final day of mini camp, is Thursday, and then they also have OTAs that Dan Campbell said was mostly going to be for the rookies next week. We'll be out there for 1 day of that as well. Then we're off to kind of the abyss. That's when there's not going to be much happening. We'll still have plenty of coverage for you. Maybe do some silly stuff. Maybe do some list cast stuff where we're ranking our top 10 wide receivers, quarterbacks, that sort of stuff. We'll have plenty of coverage. And then in terms of in the immediate, on Saturday, we'll be doing our locker room app podcast where we do Q&As. Eric Schlitt will be with us. Ryan Matthews will be with us. We'll talk more about minicamp if you have more questions about that. And then obviously we'll have our podcast on Monday night. So appreciate you all listening to this short podcast. Make sure you're subscribed to Pride of Detroit on all of your podcast platforms, on Twitch, on YouTube, to get all that live coverage, that video coverage, if you are interested in the video chats as well. But until next time, it's chaos, everybody. Be kind.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smart Water Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.